The Nonprofits is made possible by volunteers and the generous support of listeners like you. If the promotion of positive atheist culture and separation of church and state are values you hold, please consider contributing by becoming an ACA member or visiting our product page at evolvefish.com under the Partner tab. Thank you.
Nonprofits. I'm Dennis Lube, along with Jeff D. and Russell Glasser. We come to speak to you of our people with the Free Thought Library in Austin, Texas, on 2nd of July, 2017. We speak these words for Atheist Community of Austin. It is nonprofit educational organization for promotion of positive atheism and separation of church and state. If you would know more, then speak to voicemail at 512-220-6561 or visit website at www.atheistcommunity.org. We speak every first and third Wednesday of month from 7:30 to 9 Central Time. If you follow words at www.nonprofitsradio.com, you will speak with many spirits in our chat room. So sit down, be at peace, listen to our words.
Wow. Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
So here back, we are again. Everyone. It's August.
It is August.
It sure is.
Everybody have a good couple of weeks? Or did we just have three?
I lost track. I'm not sure. I think we had just 2 weeks.
No, we had two.
Two.
Yep.
Okay. How about you folks out there? You have a good time? I keep forgetting this is not a college show.
Waiting to listen to them saying things. They're in the chat room.
Oh.
So I can get back to you in a few minutes and let you know how they're all doing.
Okay. just tell me just the top two. The first two to respond to how.
Great intro.
Yeah, that was good. I just don't have anything to say about that.
I lost it half.
You said.
You paused for a moment and then it was not that bad. Now, before what everybody doesn't know is before the show began, when we were playing the recorded message with Dennis, Dennis was lip syncing to himself,
trying to
during the recorded message. It was terrible, and that made it really disturbing.
Lip syncing my own voice.
Yeah. Next week, Dennis headbangs to audio of himself.
That's right.
So, what was that? That was some sort of like. Primitive native person.
Yes.
Not going to put a fine point on exactly what
No. Or else, that would open me up to
else you'd get into all kinds
lots
of trouble.
Of horrible things.
Right. Brent Holly says he's doing good. Smiley face.
All right.
There you go.
Good.
That right. Represents our entire audience. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you, Brent. Okay. So
we want our listeners to be doing smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pleased to report that I've wrapped up my first month on Patreon.
Yeah.
Still waiting to see if they actually pay me. Does that usually take a few days after the new month begins?
Oh, no, it's pretty quick.
There's nothing's happened yet for me.
We'll get there.
Maybe because I'm new. But that's neat. It's really cool. On Patreon, because it's like everything that I'm doing now has that much more support.
Yeah,
right? That's nice.
It's just so everything seems up. It just seems more. There's that much more pressure on everything. Everything
there's that too. Yes.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's cool.
Now people are just catching up to the smiley face, and they're all posting smiley faces.
All right, all right. So how did you do? How did you guys do the last couple of weeks? Smiley. Okay,
well,
you
good.
You did smile.
We got a grin. Good. Or maybe they're all just promoting the emoji movie. Which I hear needs promotion because it's a steaming pile of bad movie.
Is it a steaming pile of bad movie?
I haven't seen a single preview, and I'm grateful for
I've
that.
Only seen
to nobody in particular.
Patrick Stewart pop up and say he was playing poop, which I thought was worth a wry smile for a moment.
Patrick Stewart.
And then I was great. Yeah.
I saw the previews and I go, it's no worse than any other animated thing out there. At least it didn't look like it from the preview.
I hear it's worse.
Oh boy. Okay.
I mean, not that I agree. I mean, you know, not that I assume every review I hear is accurate, but yeah, it's supposed to be worse.
Okay.
On the other hand, Spider-Man Homecoming, pretty good.
Yeah.
And some of us went to see Valerian and enjoyed that.
That was fun.
It was not the greatest thing in the universe. It was okay.
Okay.
It's the greatest thing in a thousand planets.
That was the nonprofit's reviews. Thank you for tuning in.
And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I thought it was fine. Okay.
All right.
So I suppose it's time for a listener mail. I'm going first.
All right.
I'm going first.
Sniped.
You were in the middle of drinking something. And rather than do a spit take, which would have been amazing here, but not so much over the airwaves.
Aaron writes, I'm a closeted atheist who is still, unfortunately, a churchgoer.
No, that has got to suck.
This Sunday, the minister brought an old argument up. This argument, what does a minister in a church bring arguments up for? Does the minister think it's their job to, like, teach their flock how to argue with atheists, I
guess? When's the last time you were in a church?
Oh, decades.
I mean,
is it all, like, self-defense now? Is it all like self-defense?
Maybe, because, you know, atheism is becoming more common or at least open non-belief. And I figure, like, ministers probably have to spend a lot of time sort of preemptively ridiculing all the non-believers.
Right. It's preemptive apologetics.
Where do you think all that shit internet apologists say comes from?
Back in the day when I went, it was all just, you know, talking about how atheists are evil people that are going to hell and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh,
and they're so sad and they really need Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that doesn't cut it anymore because you've got all these young people internet and such.
So you've been to a church recently?
I wouldn't say recently, but maybe more recently than you. I mean, within the last couple of years, I've probably been to one or two.
I had no idea that we had had that effect.
Interesting.
Inside those horrible buildings. Okay. So anyway, Aaron goes on. This argument was that the prophecies foretold about Jesus in the Old Testament were all fulfilled. That's the argument.
Right.
He then continued with a dumb example about filling Texas with silver dollars several feet deep and making someone find one specific silver dollar. The odds of that person picking the required silver dollar are the odds of a fraction of the prophecies coming true in one man, Jesus.
Gosh.
I guess he either can't handle percentages himself and statistics, and so he has to come up with an analogy.
I think
one out of many.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to go with the old needle in a haystack thing, which everybody knows.
Make up his own.
Okay.
Do we want to respond to this argument?
The argument was incredibly stupid. Yeah.
When this is done.
The common atheist response is to say that the Old Testament scriptures were rewritten in order to fit Jesus.
No. That is not.
Yeah, that brought me up with a raised eyebrow myself. I think Aaron, you may have gotten a hold of a poor argument there. The common atheist response is not that the Old Testament was rewritten,
because
that plays into the, you know, how do you how do you prove that there were older versions of things? That's a good demand that requires support. But rather to say the Old Testament stories, scriptures were written, and then the new stories were written as claims that the Old Testament stories had come to pass. That it's the New right. Testament stories that were made to order, rather than, you know, thinking that guys like snuck into the places where they kept the scrolls and like did an editing job on them.
Right.
Because it's a lot easier to say, you know, well, in olden times, what's the thing about Jesus coming in on a donkey and an ass, or what is that? You remember, you know that bit on Palm Sunday? Except he comes in, it's the way it's written, it sounds like he's on two different animals at the same time. Mm. And it's clear that the way that the Old Testament prediction was written, that in order to fulfill it, you'd have to say something like that. And so that's what got said.
Mm.
So anyway, Aaron, continuing from his, I think, misapprehension that the main argument is that the Old Testament got edited. He says, that makes sense. They are very old texts. Well, I guess in the sense that if you have an old text, you've had a lot more, there's been a lot more opportunity for editing, but
right.
That's actually not the, I'd never in fact heard that argument before.
It reminds me of this really annoying movie I saw a few years back. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was one of those movies with a name like The Omen or something like, you know, like some sort of religiously themed horror movie, mm-hmm. I think with Hilary Swank as the like obligatory I'm an atheist because I'm so mad at everything character. And in this movie, like the biblical plagues are being recreated or something.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And the whole time Hilary Swank is, or whoever it was, is explaining there's a perfectly logical explanation for all the plagues. Like the seas actually probably were infested with some kind of algae. And it's like, why are you retroactively trying to justify this story that we don't have a reason to give credence to in the first place?
Right.
Like she's sitting there trying to explain these things scientifically as if they happened, which is a weird way to approach it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's believers that play that game, right? Because they forget that these are supposed to be miraculous events.
Right.
And all they're concerned about is establishing that the events actually happened.
Yeah,
so spin them to try to make them plausible.
Yeah. The movie is called The Reaping, and that's not a recommendation.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I've looked at these shows that show, these biblical things could have happened, right, due to these physical properties of stuff. And I go, who's your audience?
It's better.
I mean, if it's Christians, they're expecting miracles, and if –
apparently, in a cost-benefit analysis, many of these Christians have decided that it's better for the Old Testament writers to have been reporting natural events than for them to just be fucking liars.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
To make it not a miracle somehow. It's so weird.
Aaron went on. That makes sense. They are very old texts, but I think it would be interesting to know if you have any other theories about this argument. Any fallacies I'm missing? Okay, so the argument is the
old texts were edited.
Is the no.
The
priest's argument that the prophecies, because the prophecies were fulfilled, that means it must be Jesus. Well, the fallacy. Is it even a fallacy in a technical sense?
I mean, there are a lot of fallacies.
He's making an unsupported claim. The fact that you read an old book, it says this happened, and then it says that happened, and therefore it's all true? No. Anybody can write anything that says this happened, and then that happened, particularly if you're talking about...
I can write Star Wars sequel fanfic. Right? Okay, this happened after A New Hope, and I can write a story about that. that actually references things that happened in the first movie, right? Doesn't right. mean that.
But I got mean, a, also, I've got a better. I want to respond yeah. to Dennis's okay. analogy. I've got a better response to that analogy, Dennis, because mm-hmm. of course you can be brushed off as just a fan writing
right.
fanfic,
right? Right. Sure.
But George Lucas edited the scene where in the bar where Han Solo drew his thing. Blaster,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He changed his text.
Yes.
Now, does that mean that Han Solo did not draw first? Well,
no, that's
actually
blasphemy.
None of it means anything because it's all made up.
Yes.
Right.
The fact is George Lucas can say whatever he wants now, and that's he could right. say whatever he wanted then, mm-hmm. and he can fit well, no, he can't anymore because he sold the rights. But at the time, he could fiddle with any bits he wanted, and that's ultimately
right. yeah.
none of it is true.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, arguing about does this prove that is pointless. Because what you need mm-hmm. is actual corroborating evidence that any of it happened in the first place. In the first right. place, that there ever was a Han Solo, right?
There ever was.
That there's things like blasters. That you know that there's actually a bar at that address
that
and not
Death
some
Star
other kind
thing.
Of a
yeah.
establishment, I mean, right?
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, but also like even without assuming that the new text that either the Old or New Testament was completely fictionalized. Like even assuming that the events had happened, the claim that it's incredibly unlikely for the Bible to say a thing will happen and then it does happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that unlikely, especially when you sort of don't pay attention to all the specific things that the Bible also said would happen and they didn't.
The people right. writing the words were believers.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they had a motive to write right. words that would justify their beliefs, much as Christians are always saying things to justify their beliefs right. nowadays.
Right. And you can certainly cherry pick like a lot of things in the Bible, many of which, like the prophecies that are supposed to be fulfilled in the Bible, like a lot of them were just chronicling things that were happening at the time
yeah.
and weren't predictions, but then the New Testament authors went through and said, oh, the Bible says this will happen. Yeah. Well, that's right. a fulfilled prophecy.
And also the pastors or the priest is probably folding in all the current events that get interpreted as
yeah.
fulfilled prophecies.
Right. The Bible says right. that there will be thunderstorms,
so
and there was one
true.
Last week.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Now, but Aaron's fishing specifically for a logical fallacy.
Mm.
Is there such a thing as a logical fallacy of the unsupported argument? Or is that just bad is that just bad logic?
I don't know.
No, but there are other there are
burden
individual ways
burden
to
of proof,
improve.
Maybe.
Yeah.
This is not a violation of burden of proof. All he's done is he's referenced the Bible, which doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, but I mean,
but he's not saying that it's somebody else's responsibility.
There are specific fallacies that relate to, like, I mean, cherry picking. I just mentioned is one. That's a fallacy.
That'd be a good one.
Cherry picking.
Yeah.
Well, what's the other data though that that he's picking from? How do we know that that's exactly what these guys are engaged in?
All of the all of the so-called prophecies in the Old Testament that aren't mentioned because they have no specific connection to anything Jesus did.
Ooh, like that's a really interesting topic.
Is
there a list of those anywhere? Like,
I don't know.
Bible prophecies that they didn't even try to claim.
Yeah, where the threads just got left hanging.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to Google unfulfilled Bible prophecies and see what I get.
That's a really interesting subject. So anyway, thank you, Aaron, for your letter. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to fill time with some sounds coming out of my face until Russell has a chance to look up. Specifically, the unfulfilled prophecies.
But you know, they have like a get out of jail free card, which is that anything that hasn't happened
yet.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a Wikipedia page called "Unfulfilled Christian Religious Predictions." But,
uh-huh.
Okay. You remember back in 2011 that pastor guy was going around buying up billboards that the world is going to end on this specific date?
Yeah.
Herald something or other.
So, could you give us an example of an unfulfilled Bible prophecy?
Oh, yeah.
Are they specifically Old Testament prophecies?
All right. Roman Catholic Church. When in 1525, Martin Luther. Well, I don't know if these are.
No, I'm on Bible ones.
Yeah.
Find us Bible ones.
Predictions written in major sacred texts are covered in the Bible prophecy article.
Okay. I think it's worth
unfulfilled. Oh, wait. No, I'm just back here again.
Is it leading you in circles?
This is a long article. I'm sorry.
Can you just pull one example?
Well, the thing is, I've got two pages. One is just on Bible prophecy in general, and the other is on unfulfilled Christian religious predictions. So these are all things like when the Jehovah's Witnesses predicted that the world was going to end in 19-something.
All right. Well, maybe our listeners out there would go and do that research.
Maybe.
Send us some fun examples. Because, you know, if there's like a prophecy prophecies that sound goofy that haven't happened yet, where just imagining what it would take for that to occur could be hilarious. Right? Mm-hmm. I want to go over those.
I've got something that says seven prophecy. This is by a Christian group.
No. That would be for your other segment.
These are prophecies that have to be fulfilled before Jesus gets back.
That would be a great article for your segment. But
okay.
I imagine you've got something for that today.
I do, but I don't have a strong attachment to anything. This one's too long.
All right. So how about a news item then?
How about a news item? Speaking of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Uh-huh. Which we did last episode. In fact, we got some pushback on that.
Yeah. I totally had something on Jehovah's Witnesses. Jordan Supreme Court. Oh, no. Okay, here it is. According to the UK Independent, Jehovah's Witness ban comes into force in Russia after Supreme Court dismisses their appeal. Now, this is going to be one of those stories I'm not immediately sure how to feel about because the Jehovah's Witnesses...
Which Supreme Court? The Russian Supreme Court.
The Russian Supreme Court.
Okay.
A ban on Jehovah's Witnesses is to come into full force in Russia after a court dismissed an appeal against the group's classification as an extremist organization. What do we know about Jehovah's Witnesses and how extremist they are? I know they deny their kids blood transfusions, right? That's them.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not just blood transfusions, though.
Yeah,
all modern medical.
The British and American governments were among those raising human rights concerns over the prohibition, which will liquidate the group's administrative center near St. Petersburg and 395 local religious organizations. Russia's Supreme Court upheld the ruling on Monday, having previously decided in favor of the Justice Ministry's characterization of the Jehovah's Witnesses as an extremist organization whose members pose a threat to the rights of the citizens, public order, and public security.
Yeah, that sounds like they're going a bit far.
Yeah. Judges ordered the closure of the group's Russian headquarters, local chapters, and the seizure of its property by the state.
Oh.
It's handy.
Now, then again, we don't know how the Jehovah's Witnesses behave in Russia.
That's true.
We don't.
We don't.
Although I've heard kind of disturbing things about how the Russian government behaves towards
liberty. It's going to be hard to unentangle the truth from that.
Yeah. Well, now it's just a variety of people saying how disappointed they are for the rest of the article. So the case could be taken to the European Court of Human Rights, which ruled a previous attempted ban on Jehovah's Witnesses in Russia unlawful in 2010. But the court has no power to enforce its decisions, and Russia could ignore any verdict.
I hate to bring this up because Russia's a lot in the news lately, and we're hearing a lot of things about how they operate over there, right? But however, one does not want to make the mistake of, when hearing a story like this, leaping to the assumption that just because we do a certain things a certain way over here, that then necessarily, if they don't do it that way over there, they are horrible and wrong, right? Different cultures and legal systems do things different ways. However, this one it seems pretty safe to be against because you're talking about freedom of thought and freedom of speech and things like that, which are pretty universally important.
Right. It bears reminding people that just because we think the religions themselves are full of shit doesn't mean that the right remedy to that is to just stop them from doing and saying what they want to.
Yeah.
And I think one rule of thumb that I always use when I hear about something like that is can the same wording as the ban in that case also be used against atheism? Because atheists are very unpopular.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if it's possible to use that sort of thing against them, they would.
We are big unpopular.
Well, not as much as we used to be.
Yep. Sure.
So, all right. Well,
interesting. Yeah.
Unless it's Scientology. Scientology or Moonies. Then I say throw the book at them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those would be examples of groups who have been plausibly associated with extreme, dangerous, pushy, negative things. So,
yeah, but also arguably, like, you go after the things they do that are extremist and make those illegal and enforce that whether or not they're doing it in the name of a religious group.
Mm. Right. And also, you know, there's general laws like France's law against taking advantage of someone's circumstances to proselytize at them.
Yeah, right? I like it.
That's a general purpose law. It seems perfectly reasonable that I'd support. But this is not that.
I have found more in the article that says Russia changed its legal definition of extremism in 2006, removing requirements for violence or hatred, but stating the incitement of religious discord as criteria.
Oh, boy. See, yeah, they're totally going to get atheists then because we're all discordant and shit.
Right.
Yep.
The group's international website was blocked in Russia 2 years ago over alleged extremism, with its Bibles banned the following year, while a local chairman was jailed for 2 years on charges of possessing extremist literature in 2010.
Yeah.
So what's the official religion over there? Do they have one?
I don't believe they have one. I mean, you know, Russia had a reputation of being godless for a while, but I am led to understand.
Before that, they had the Russian Orthodox Church.
Yeah, that's not really the case and hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah, I'm suspecting there may be issues of competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to this website, or according to a Wikipedia page on the subject, 41% of Russia is Russian Orthodox, which makes sense.
How much is atheist?
25% say they're spiritual but not religious. 13% identify with atheism,
which is lower than over here. Yeah. We get it.
And those are the biggest ones.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All righty then. Well, thank you for that news item.
Cool.
Julian says, "Hey guys, can you explain this to me? I recently had a Christian friend Facebook message me in response to a meme I shared stating that pointing out that plants were created before light was in the Bible." He responded with some bullshit about God being able to do this since he's all powerful.
Okay,
played the all powerful card right out of the gate.
Right. There you go.
But what
magic.
He said,
anytime you see something like that, a wizard did it.
That's right. Magic. Bum, ba-dum.
But what he said next is what I really don't understand. Uh-huh. He went on to say he doesn't believe that Genesis should be taken literally.
Well, then
I responded, I don't know why you're then defending the whole plants thing by referencing God's omnipotence.
See, at that point, I think you just say, "Great, I'm glad we agree," and move on to something else.
All right. No, well, he's got a thing. I responded that there's no point in Jesus if you don't take Genesis seriously. No original sin, therefore, what did Jesus need to die for? He responded to that by saying that Adam and Eve did not need to exist since people do sin, and that is all that was needed. Yeah, I'm sorry, Julian. That is a flavor of Christian that exists. The Christians who are willing to dispense with these stories as being literally true, but merely metaphorically true. They think that there is a lesson there that, you know, kind of like the three little pigs.
Yeah.
Huffing and puffing and blowing. What was the lesson?
The ant and the grasshopper. What is it? Yeah,
don't build houses out of straw.
Right. Yeah, right. Build your houses out of strong materials. Well, whatever they think that there is a lesson to be learned from the story, even if the story is not literally what happened, and that's what he's coming at you with. Does this make any sense to you guys either? Now that's a completely different question, right? Because I think, personally, I think pointing at a metaphorical story as justification for a belief is bullshit. I think if you can't point to actual examples, that then you're making shit up to justify your conclusion that you've reached. However, if you mean does it make sense in the sense that I've seen Christians that do that and that is in fact a type of, you know, a strain of Christianity, yeah, it totally is.
Yeah.
I responded, I don't think he believes in the Christian God because it doesn't match the one in the Bible. Yeah, again, dude, you can't do that. You can't put all Christians in the same box. There are all kinds of different ones with all kinds of different spins on everything.
Yeah, you got to bear in mind that religion is all made up. There are there are hundreds and thousands of variations of different religions, and there's no objective measuring stick for them. So if somebody says they believe that Dumbledore is watching over everybody from heaven,
I thought you were going to say gay, because that's a thing.
Dumbledore's totally gay. Word of God.
But no, he isn't. He doesn't exist.
If they say that they believe a thing, you may as well believe them, and they just don't have a literal belief in that book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which it that's is, the way it is.
It really is their business to say what they take literally and what they don't take literally and what they conclude from all of that.
Right.
You pretty much have to take them at their word, and then if you catch them actually lying, you can get them on that. But you can't say you're not really a Christian because you don't fit my interpretation of what Christians are.
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, there are real young Earth creationists, and it's perfectly fair for if your friend comes at you and says, "Well, I don't believe that," then you just answered, "Then I wasn't fucking talking to you, was I?"
Right.
I mean,
right.
That doesn't
they love
mean
to play that game
right.
of. They love to play that game of. Well, you found a thing that is, you know, a problem, but it's not my problem. Therefore, Christianity is true. No, it just means I haven't. Why don't you tell me some of your crap, and I'll tell you if I can find anything wrong with that. Right. I mean, it's not my fault that there's a bazillion different flavors of Christianity, and I don't. I can't directly address yours until you've told me what it is. Okay.
Right.
Thank you for volunteering yourself. Now start telling me what you believe.
Do all Christians believe this? No? Well, then why should I believe you other than one of them?
He also questions whether the Bible is the Word of God and went on about misinterpreting the Bible. What the hell? I'm very puzzled by that. If you don't think the Bible is the Word of God, then what is this all this misinterpretation thing? Who cares?
Yeah.
If it's not supposed to be the rules, right?
Yeah.
Then how is misinterpreting it a big problem? I guess in the sense that you could have a guy who misinterpreted the law, and then you go to court and he could be wrong. Like, okay, all right. Would you agree with my response, and what would you say to someone who claims they're a Christian but doesn't think the Bible is God's word? Well, dude, watch our various shows. I mean, we have dealt with this all the time. This is just an extension of, yeah, dude, there are people out there who they're steeped in the ideology of Christianity, but they're not fundamentalists. They don't think it all has to be literally true. It's a thing.
Right.
They're not all fundies. So I wouldn't say anything in particular to that guy other than, okay, what kind are you and what's your deal?
Yeah. And of course there's something to be said. Like, if you care about having a conversation with that guy, it's always a good way to start to just say, what do you believe and why? And get into that, because, I mean,
yeah,
you can't really have a constructive conversation if you are making assumptions about the other person's opinions that they don't have.
Yeah. To me, it really seems that most Christians, at least the ones I've come in contact with, appear to not even believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in some random vague God that they made up from teachings they heard in church and whatever their personal ideology is. This must be why this God they made up seems to always agree with them. Yeah, totally,
yep.
Dude.
You got to figure it out.
That is exactly right. And that, but that is why you cannot be in the business of requiring them to fit your definition of what a Christian is, because then you're going to be constantly disappointed that you're not playing with an official Christian, right? They totally are.
Yeah.
Now, the you know, another aspect of this is they do, individual Christians do approach it this way, and then they'll be more than happy to turn right around and say, despite the fact that there's a bazillion different individual variety of Christians, they'll be happy to turn around and claim, well, you know, we're the world's single biggest religion. No, you're fucking not. You are a bazillion little tiny separate religions that have a lot of fundamental basic things in common, but also huge differences.
It's quite possible that you're the only one who believes in exactly the stuff you believe in.
Yeah. So
a religion of one.
I especially love this statistic, my favorite statistic, which is now many years out of date, and this may have shifted, right? But the Christians it's not hard to find Christians who will say that Catholics are not real Christians.
Yeah.
So if you take the percentage of people in the world who are Catholics and remove them from that percentage of people that are Christians,
yeah,
and then compare the remaining Christians with atheists,
that's pretty
weird. Outnumber them. I love that. Julian goes on, I'm an atheist, and whenever I hear my religious family and friends make statements about God and Christianity, it sounds to me that they haven't read the Bible at all. Well, that's another thing, dude. This is kind of an established fact that on average, your typical atheist knows more about the Bible than your typical theist. Doesn't mean they're not some flavor of Christian. It just means they're going to be their own weird, unique little flavor that is based on whatever snippets of the teachings that they do know.
It just means that they're deliberately
and whatever
incurious.
They've made up.
Yeah. And that's why getting generally good at listening and critical thinking is way more important than just learning and memorizing all the specific details of the Holy Book and the exact counters to them.
Yeah. Those people in the past who perfected printing in order to print the Bible.
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah, but nobody's reading it.
Buying them, though.
Oh, yeah.
Buying them in droves and sticking them in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Anyway, to sum it up, do you think my response was adequate? Well, I got to go back here. First, you said I responded that there's no point in Jesus if you don't take Genesis seriously. No, I think you can't really prove that, because he can fall back on the it's metaphorically true and sin is still an actual thing. And so, he can get around that one. And Then he said, I responded that I don't think he believes in the Christian God because it doesn't match the one in the Bible. Again, no,
yeah,
because that is the nature. It is the nature of Christianity to be a bazillion separate little flavors. It just is. Now, if he said, if he told you, yes, I do take the Bible literally, then you can play the game of, well, here's what the Bible literally says.
Right.
And then he'll turn around and say, no, you're misinterpreting it. So you can't really get him that way either.
Hmm.
Does the person I mentioned sound as illogical to you as it did to me? Sounds like a case of cognitive dissonance. Wow. What do you guys think about this? I mean, just it, to me, I've long since gotten over my shock of the way that there's as many different Christianities as there are Christians.
I still can't. The only thing, you know, the only thing I can point to is that, you know, if you're talking about something that's true, then different lines of examination all lead to a single truth.
Right.
And if you're talking about something made up, it spreads out just like Christianity in a million different directions. And so it's like...
Yeah, but also, as you said about getting over your shock, like, I have long since realized that even fairly mainstream religious beliefs are ridiculous in a lot of ways, which is why, I mean, you know, I'm not going to name any specifics, but if a politician shows up with like a non-standard religious church that he goes to, and people are jumping all over him saying like, oh, did you know that this guy, like if he's a Scientologist, say, you know, they're like, do you know this guy believes that Xenu causes all these bad things? And it's like, yeah, and let's keep arguing against Scientology. But also, there aren't a lot of people I can vote for who don't have some wacky things that they believe in.
Right.
And this doesn't seem especially wackier than the three-day resurrection thing.
Huh. Yeah, all the different stories. One, I am almost tempted to say, okay, when I'm talking to a new Christian, I'll just go on the basis of the last Christian I spoke to.
Yeah.
Right. And then when they say, oh, but that's not it, I go, oh, okay, then, well, I guess then you're right and he was wrong. Okay. Explain to me this new thing. And then the next Christian gets the same treatment. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you can save some time by not starting from the position of the previous guy and just go straight with what this guy wants to tell you.
Yeah.
Does the person I mentioned sound as illogical to you as it did to me? Well, it's not. It's not a logic issue necessarily. It's, I mean, he has as much responsibility for burden of proof to back up his beliefs if he wants you to take them seriously as anybody else does. And, you know, you can't get him for, you can't say you're illogical for not believing the Bible when he's saying, not believing the Bible literally, when he's saying to you that he doesn't take the Bible literally. Then you're just you're just beating on him for not being the kind of Christian you are expecting.
Yes, he's provided you a premise that you didn't expect.
Yeah, yeah,
and that doesn't
that's not
that,
necessarily
that's not
logical
really
fallacy.
Illogical. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta judge his logic on the basis of whether his own personal unique tiny little sliver of Christianity is internally consistent and B, you know, supported by objective evidence.
That's what makes it so hard to argue with these people.
Also, how do Christians get away with making arguments about us interpreting it wrong? How do they know what is literal and what isn't? Are they making that up in their head too? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
yeah, but
that is exactly what they're
doing.
And all
you can do is say, well, the last Christian I spoke to said something else.
Right. If they want to establish that something in the Bible was literally true, they need more than just the Bible to point to. Right? Because that's just a claim. Yeah. That is the claim. That is not the argument.
Does this boil down to the idea that the word Christianity is essentially meaningless? Because it doesn't really point at anything.
It
points
amorphous.
At a trillion different things?
It's amorphous, I'm afraid. That's in actual practice.
Yeah.
it's this soft, fuzzy cloud of things.
This is what Christianity
people with various elements that are very similar to one another, but not identical, and so you get a category.
So you can't.
And ultimately, you know, if somebody comes to me and tells me they're a Christian, that's what they said to me. Okay, fine, you're a Christian, and.
Yeah.
Now what kind?
Yeah. Telling me you're a Christian doesn't mean anything because I don't know what you believe. Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it would be as unfair to have statistics on like the average income and education levels and beliefs of an American and meet somebody who tells you they're an American and then tell them they're not if they don't have – they don't match all those statistics.
Right.
Right? It's now, that kind of soft category.
Now, we can go and say we're atheists.
Let me put one more thing. So you can say, show me your American citizenship. And mm-hmm. if they do that, that absolutely puts them in the category. But you can do the same thing with a Christian, right? Do you believe that Christ was, you know, your savior and a important individual that gave you all these teachings? And if they say yes, that is a Christian. That doesn't tell you anything about what they think that Jesus actually said, whether they even think that Jesus actually existed, because that's not even really true for some Christians, right? They just think that he's a metaphorical character who's my savior and taught all these things, right?
Yeah. But then they'll happily go and talk about, oh, well, this other person is not a real Christian.
Yeah, and I think that's where the fun is.
Yeah,
get them beaten up on each other because that's not really our problem,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, no, so you were going to say
our problem that they can't keep their story straight. Yeah,
Dennis, you were going to say
something
else.
I've forgotten it already.
I'm sorry.
My trolley's been derailed. No, that's all right.
Lastly, how can you be a Christian and not believe Genesis is real and that the Bible may not be God's word for all the ways that we just explained?
Yep.
It's the only thing that you've got to go on whether a person is a Christian or not is pretty much if they say they are.
Right. But if you tell them that, they hate it.
Right. They want to believe that their personal flavor is absolutely the one true one. And the true one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Julian. Yeah. What else has happening in the world's news?
Sir? Thomas Jefferson famously, cut his own Bible.
Edited it?
Yeah.
He
did his Jefferson cut of the Bible, and it was just he chopped out all the stuff that the supernatural stuff, and then he boiled it down to like the little pithy sayings that Jesus would do, and then. I don't remember the exact quote, but after having chopped this up and saying this is a better Bible, he then said, like, you know, I believe I am a Christian in the truest sense of the word because I'm following these words. They come in all flavors is my point.
Not helpful, Tommy.
Yeah.
Not helpful. Did he in fact consider himself a Christian, or was he one of them deist guys? Or both?
I think he was an early Unitarian and kind of a deist. There's like Christian Wiccans and shit, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think he would happily acknowledge that he was – I mean, he said a lot of negative stuff about Christianity and religion too, and he would not think that he was a mainstream kind of – believer.
All right.
But pretty much not an atheist, unfortunately.
Here it is. To the corruptions of Christianity, I am indeed opposed, but not to the genuine precepts of Jesus himself. Oh, God. I am a Christian in the only sense in which he wished anyone to be.
There he goes. You know, those guys aren't real Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you're free not to... agree with everything Thomas Jefferson said.
Yeah.
Wow. So, some news?
Yeah. I neglected to thank Kenny Demeter from Facebook for submitting the last Demeter? Jehovah's Witness story that I just read.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the next thing I want to talk about, actually, you have an email in there somewhere that is disappointed with us for not talking about something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about it.
Okay. All right.
And I'll cross off his letter. Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court sided with religious institutions in a major church-state decision. So basically the opposite of what happened in Russia.
Right.
And not very heartening either. The Supreme Court ended its term Monday. This story is from the Washington Post, June 26th, with a major First Amendment decision ruling that efforts at separating church and state go too far when they deny religious institutions access to government grants meant for a secular purpose. Okay. By the way, even though you've crossed off that letter, do you want to read who it is?
I will at the end.
Attribution?
I will at the end. Let's do the news right now.
In siding with a Missouri church that had been denied money to resurface its playground, the court ruled 7-2 that excluding churches from state programs for which other charitable groups are eligible is a violation of the Constitution's protection of the free exercise of religion. The consequence is, in all likelihood, a few extra scraped knees, wrote Chief Justice John Roberts Jr. But the exclusion of Trinity Lutheran from a public benefit for which it is otherwise qualified solely because it is a church is odious to our Constitution all the same and cannot stand.
So,
yeah,
this is about a playground.
Uh-huh.
So the church is arguing in this case that this is a secular thing that they're
that they
that
shouldn't
doing.
Have to spend their own money on.
That because there is money available to other nonprofits to do things like playgrounds, which are just open to the public, that therefore they should be able to get access to those same funds.
Essentially, yeah.
And the counter argument is, look, this is bullshit. The church has some money and it's doing some things, and some of those are religious things that they're spending their own money on.
No.
That's not the argument I'm getting.
All right.
Let me say the words coming out of my mouth. And so if state funds go to pay for some of their non-religious activities, all that's doing is freeing up that organization's own funds to spend on its religious activities, which is I think that is a perfectly valid argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you ever draw a hard line between secular things being done by a religious organization and non-secular things, religious things being done by a church organization? You can't.
Not entirely, no.
Why does I guess the correct answer is, why are churches even involving themselves in these secular activities? Why does this church need to build a secular playground?
I don't know that they are saying that it was a secular playground.
Well, clearly that's the argument that
yeah, but I mean, it sounds to me like it was a playground, like in what you read, that's
money available for secular.
Yeah, but look,
project.
There's a picture right here on this story. The playground is clearly behind a fence, which also encompasses the church. Like,
oh,
this is the playground in the church, or
so it's not
on the
even
church's
open,
lot.
It's not even open to the public.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's utter bullshit. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they've got guards or anything
to
stop you from playing on it.
For them to make their argument stick at all, it would have to be, look, we made this playground. We just put it out there. It doesn't say anything religious in it anywhere, and people are free to come and go from all walks and lives and belief. And we're not leaving, you know, pastors in there to proselytize at them. It's just serving no religious purpose whatsoever. that it would have to be that for them to make their argument at all.
The first paragraph in the court document here is that among the facilities at the center is a playground, which has a coarse pea gravel surface that they were trying to get replaced with some kind of rubberized thing.
No, this sounds like a place to put the kids when the parents are in church.
This is a
like
draw
that.
For parents because if you've got your kids in a you know, enclosed area with presumably an adult that you're paying to look over it, then they'll feel okay about coming in and sitting
and
through some sermons.
I'm going to go off on a tangent here. What? What? Why? Why the hell is everybody against pea gravel all of a sudden? We have this nice playground at the end of our street that had pea gravel. When I did when my partner and I did our caveman role playing game, Cavemaster, among the back rewards was a set of little pebbles that you could use to play the game with, and some of those came from the public amenity of the playground at the end of our street.
Oh my god, you stole their gravel.
Oh, a handful. Couple of handfuls tops. But now they said it was like closed for 2 weeks. Well, they came in with construction equipment and scraped out all the pea gravel and replaced it with these cedar shavings that smell nice if you like that smell, but I can't imagine that they're safer and more sanitary than the little pebbles were.
I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know.
The problem
was
all the little church kids walking off with their pea gravel to make their own caveman themed games, and the church was like, "We can't afford this anymore."
No, that would be the little atheist kid. Because of course, everybody knows all Christians don't believe in evolution, right?
Right.
Because
our 100%
good friend Julian would want us to believe that. No, Julian.
Shots fired.
There's Christians who believe in evolution.
And of course, we can also bring up, they already pay taxes.
And that the world is more than 4,000 years old.
Yeah, that is what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, bring that up.
I mean, there is sort of a contract basically saying you're not going to have to pay taxes, but also like we're not going to subsidize you and you're not going to make any political statements.
Yeah, that's you don't have to pay for your pea gravel.
Works.
Just the same like you don't have to pay for your police and fire department protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Why don't we just say, okay, churches get everything free.
Yeah.
You
know, not cool, man.
No.
Right.
Not cool. And by the way, our listener who noticed that we had not covered that story was Tyler from St. Louis.
Thank you.
Or St. Louis. Or St. Louis. Or
nobody says St. Louis. Saint-Louis. What are you talking about?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Because we got in trouble for that. Or Dennis did. And I've lost my – there's my time. All right, let's try another listener.
And I'm sure you're making it better by ridiculing the way that people say it.
Yes, of course.
Speaking of Jehovah's Witnessizers.
Oh, yes.
Witnessization, yes.
Lewis.
Witness
this is,
me.
This is Lewis. It's not Louis. It's not
How do you know? Did he say it?
Because it's Lewis.
It's Lewis.
It's just Superman's girlfriend, Lewis Lane. No.
Before becoming an atheist, I was a Jehovah's Witness. So I'd like to help you out with what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Because you recall, we couldn't remember the exact number. We kind of recalled there was a finite amount and then. And then there were jokes. Jokes ensued. In episode 1612,
isn't that the point?
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Is an opportunity to say something funny because you don't actually know the facts. I'm totally okay with people making shit up for comedic value if they don't know the facts, as long as it's clear they're making it up for comedic value because they don't know the facts and are trying to spin that. In episode 1612, you mentioned that the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that 144,000 persons would go to heaven. Didn't we look it up?
That's what I thought.
We looked it up or somebody knew or something.
That was me.
After that, I believe you said that they believe that everyone else would burn in hell.
Oh,
did we?
That's right. Maybe. Jehovah's Witnesses.
They probably have a nice place. Actually,
they actually believe is that 144,000 are chosen to go to heaven and be co-rulers with Jesus. The world as we know it will be destroyed at Armageddon. I've got a question.
Yeah.
Start not to step on Dennis's toes, but
go for it.
So there's 144,001 rulers of heaven.
Yeah.
Actually, do they believe Jesus and the Holy Ghost and God are the same dude? Do we know that?
So that's two more.
Let's say they do. Let's just say they do. 144,001 co-rulers of heaven.
Yes.
144,003.
No, we're saying that they believe it's the same one.
Yes. Governing by committee. Okay. This should be
144,001 co-rulers of heaven. And no actual, you know, mere citizens.
Good point.
It's City of Heroes all over again.
Is it then a democracy? Is that what that means? That everybody has equal say, so everything has to be resolved by some kind of voting process?
Have they demoted
Jesus to just another dude of the 144,001?
Or does Jesus have 51% of the stock? I don't know.
Hostile takeover.
Yeah, right.
Co-rulers. I'm curious how evenly that authority is split. Well, he's got the thing is, Jesus personally has 7,201 votes. Himself. So even if everybody's against him, he always gets to decide.
But maybe I want to know, do these people already have their swipe cards to get in and out of heaven and stuff? I mean, are they already the ones that allow them, the cards that indicate that they were chosen? Is it a gold star?
As I understand it, and this is where we'll probably be corrected again. In this case, you can correct me personally because I'm just going off my limited memories of this. My understanding is that there are exactly 144,000 chosen, but nobody knows exactly who they are.
Oh,
so what you're trying to do maybe is qualify?
I think you're thinking of Calvinists, maybe. You might be mixing them up a little bit.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, you're not going to be able to run a religion on the premise that 144,000 people are going to go.
And you're not one.
And you are for sure not one.
Right.
There's no way that's
why would you be in that religion?
No way. Yeah, right.
If you're not chosen, why would you be there? Yeah.
Right. Then you're actually worshiping 144,001 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're just doing this to show your appreciation for them for being so awesome.
For being chosen.
Okay.
We don't even know that they're awesome. Yeah.
The world. Okay, so he's going on. The co-rulers with Jesus. The world as we know it will be destroyed at Armageddon. It will then be restored to a paradise as it was before Adam and Eve sinned. Those who live through Armageddon will help in this restoration and greet those that are resurrected from the dead. Oh, so a lot more than 144,001 people get to continue.
To somehow survive the destruction of the earth?
So you have to either be... Clearly, there is a limit to the level of destroyed they're talking about.
I guess so.
Right? Maybe not vaporized, but all the buildings fall down and stuff. And so 144,000 people and one plus whoever survives Armageddon. So that's the other incentive.
That's the people they're lording it over. That's the people they're ruling.
It says co-rulers of heaven. I'm just going by literally what Lewis writes here.
Yeah.
doesn't say what the government is going to be like yet after those 144,001 come down from heaven back to earth. Actually, maybe Jesus won't. I don't know if he's going to be one. But maybe Jesus gets to run heaven all by himself then again.
Maybe they'll rule the survivors. Yeah.
Maybe they'll rule the survivors. Yeah, maybe. But
the ones that survived Armageddon.
Yes, but why are you speculating? We don't know.
Yeah.
There will be no survivors.
Show me what you got. Okay. Those who do not choose to serve Jehovah will be put to death in the lake of fire. This is symbolic of permanent destruction, not eternal suffering. They do not believe the Bible teaches a doctrine of hell and eternal suffering. So
Just
just momentary suffering.
Just killing, lots and lots of killing.
I request just being burned to death in lava.
Yeah,
I request permission to say something a little bit snotty here.
Sure.
People who are former members of specific religions seem to think that the problems with the specific doctrines of those religions are way more interesting than the rest of us do.
Are you complaining about Lewis's letter? I found this fascinating.
I think it was a good letter. I just that was a lot of detail about the religion.
But that's cool.
Yeah. But I don't need that.
But look, this is not a big letter.
That's true.
We spent a lot of time on it, but that's because it's interesting.
Yeah, he was brief.
To some of us. Okay.
I said a little bit snotty.
Yeah. Okay. Now there's people that go on and on.
Right.
But this is not that.
Okay. Russell?
God, that's weird. So.
What? Yeah, so
it's your turn to read some more news.
Is it my turn to read shit?
Internet apologists say.
Just keeping you on your toes, Vern.
I loved how he went shit. At the beginning, that was nice. Assuming that the echo stays that way for the. On the recording. Okay.
Yeah. So what do we got? We got some options today, but I think
it's your job to pick it. Pick it.
I know. I mean, I had something like blatantly sexual, but I think I've done that a couple of shows ago. So it's going to be a little while before we come around to that one.
Okay.
Russell has something blatantly sexual.
It's called a penis.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we got another one of these Christian moms with lots of opinions about what's wrong with the world today.
Okay.
Well,
I think we haven't gotten to one of those in a while. So
You'd probably better not read this one as Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
I don't think that's the Christian mom voice.
We were discussing voices before the show. But let's see. This is from The Transformed Wife. .com.
Wow.
Seems to be one Lori Alexander.
Some guy's got a wife and she's a transformer.
Yeah.
Neat. Does she turn into some kind of a minivan or a or maybe she's one of those jet airplanes or
yeah. Like many of the submissions, Prof, who is at Cootie59 on Twitter, is very active in supplying these. So thanks very much for your hard work. Uh-huh. The title of this is Not One Bible Verse Instructs Women to Have Careers. So this is a woman letting other women know that it's not cool to have a job or anything.
Right, right.
And so she is telling us up front, she is not a professional blogger. This is just her hobby.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
I guess this starts with a big old blown up screenshot of a Bible. I guess they call them photos.
Not professionally made.
Yes.
Because.
Clearly.
Because.
That would be a career.
In fact, it looks like this is probably a meme that somebody else made. Mm-hmm. So because it's got a little
because she didn't pay anybody to do it either because that would be her spending husband's grocery money.
Yeah, so
illustrating her hobby of a blog.
Right. The highlighted
which we cannot have.
Also, I just want to make it known that writing a blog is not speaking in church, so it's okay for her to do that.
Right.
All right.
This seems to be from 2 Thessalonians 3:14. I'm just going to not read the whole thing, but just read the scrawled underline. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
All right. And are those Jesus' words? Because they're not, are they?
Are they? What's Thessalonians? Is that a Paul thing?
That is a Paul thing.
Yeah.
I am appalled. Yeah, that's not Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
So Lori says, of course, careers for women came from a godless heathen world. Oh, and she links to the last post she did, just so that you know that she's really thinking about this topic. There's nothing in the Bible that encourages or instructs women to leave their homes for hours every day, their children with strangers to raise, and go to a job.
Also, she's linking back to her previous post, right, yep, to build up her hits.
Uh-huh.
So that – are there ads running down the side of this thing? Any kind of ad content?
I'm not seeing a lot of ads
this
here.
It's not clickbait?
I'm not seeing any ads. No. Nope.
Are you sure? Okay. All right. She's off the hook then.
Well –
No ads that I can see.
No, wait a minute. There's a piece of art. Can I see that piece of art at the B&M?
I'm sorry. There's a book she's hawking. She's the author of a book, The Power of a Transformed Wife, on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And is she making an income on that?
I have no way of knowing if this is successful at all.
She's building up. She's promoting it. It's for if you click on that, I bet on Amazon it's not free.
It is not free.
How much is it?
$9.81. It has a 3-star review.
How many pages?
How many pages?
I'm just curious. I do a bit of publishing, self-publishing.
242.
242 page book for $9? Yeah, she's not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well,
in fact, that might be.
But it took her time to write all that.
That might be near. I don't. She's not arguing that women aren't allowed to waste their time on shit.
Though it doesn't say that in the Bible either.
Yes. I'm saying at that kind of price, she is not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
If any. Okay.
Now
right.
I'm distracted by her Amazon bio.
Okay.
Lori Alexander has been married for 36 years and has 4 grown children with families of their own.
Uh-huh.
The first 20 years of her marriage were difficult, but through the transforming power of the Word of God. See, there's a very short amount of space in which to tell us relevant things about yourself, and I feel like that's too much information.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, man,
she
my
thinks
marriage
is important. It's her, yeah, it's her call to decide right what she thinks is important to tell us.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it says she has a ministry. She bases her ministry on Titus 2:3.
She has a ministry?
Yeah.
What does Titus 2:3 say?
Oh, wait. I like this. The whole second paragraph starts, please read the discussion forum on her author's page to find out why she has received so many negative reviews of her book with only 1 star.
Uh-huh.
She has never taught that any form of abuse is acceptable, and she never will.
Well, oh, boy. Hey, well. So somewhere all in right her published stuff, she gets into, like, spanking and shit.
Yeah. I don't know what else she's done with her life, but clearly learning effective marketing is not one of them.
No.
Having a ministry, though, isn't that a career?
In
what sense is having a ministry not a career?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, her children are all grown, and so maybe she doesn't have to spend all her time.
The subtext of her thing talking about well, the subtext is that single mothers shouldn't get jobs.
Oh, I mean.
Which means, I guess, they have to go find a hubby to support them, basically.
Well,
if you're
yeah
a single mother, yeah, you have to prostitute yourself to someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Or to a lot of people.
Or die of starvation. Right.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got by with that line without a single reaction. Okay, so
we've barely gotten into the actual article that I pulled up.
In fact,
up
you've not read word one of her actual article.
Yeah,
you read the opening.
Careers for women came from a godless heathen world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we got that far.
And then there's nothing that in the Bible that says to get a job again, which is the title.
Right.
Yeah. Or speak in church, and yet she has a ministry. What is a ministry if not a job where you speak
in
church?
I don't know if she addresses that or not.
Okay.
Yes, some women in the Bible were midwives, but they were at home unless they were delivering a baby. Oh, okay, there's your loophole. Her ministry is publishing stuff on Amazon.
Right.
And so
as she's at home unless she's ministering with
her ministry. Well, hell, I'm at home when I'm not at work.
Everybody's at home when they're not. Well, not well, me. Not I'm at home and working.
Yeah,
but
same here. But
God. But then okay, fine.
Yep.
Hypocrisy. I'm shocked.
Yeah. I have to say this wasn't the direction I was expecting us to go in, but okay. I'm enjoying it. Go
ahead.
Let's see. She talks about some lady called Priscilla in the. There's a Priscilla in the Bible. Desert? Priscilla worked alongside her husband making tents. But again, this wasn't in a factory where she had to be away from her home all day long.
Wow, she has specific ideas on what a career means.
Yeah, she is all about so far.
Can you please Google Priscilla in the Bible? Because that would surprise me.
So far, everything you've read has been about her apologizing and excusing herself.
She hedges a lot. Like the fact that her Amazon page leads with the fact that she has a lot of negative reviews and and mentions specifically that she's not condoning child abuse, which is not something I assumed going to her page, but now she makes me think about it.
Maybe Priscilla like beat up her kids or something.
I don't know.
When is she going to say anything?
Is there a Priscilla in the Bible?
When is she going to say
anything? There is. Yeah.
Okay.
When is she going to say anything about her whole topic and stop with the apologies? Because, ma'am, I'm sorry that your excuses come across exactly like excuses.
Okay. Are older women, as written in the Bible, to be known for their careers? No. They should be known for bringing up children, lodging strangers, washing the saints' feet, relieving the afflicted, diligently following every good work, 1 Timothy 5:10, and teaching the younger women, Titus 2:4. There's nothing about them having careers.
And yet, you're an older woman with a career. You're running a blog and writing and selling books.
And heavy ministry.
Now, I can personally vouch for the fact that running a blog is not a career.
What is the
not for everybody?
Hate to,
anyway.
I hate to ask this, Russell, this is just a technical detail that's of interest to me, and you can just say no if you don't want. But I'm curious what the physical dimensions of her book are. Does it say? Because 200 plus pages. For $10.
Are you thinking that's a lot or
No, I'm saying if it is like a full, it must be a smaller size book.
It is 6x9 and 0.6 inches deep, I guess.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, she's making a little bit of money. She's not pushing it.
Why do you say that? I know nothing.
I know what print-on-demand prices are.
Uh-huh.
I know what kind of cut Amazon takes and stuff. And I think she's making a buck or two off of these books each.
Well, let me look at those prices again.
What?
These two books are frequently bought together.
Is that her again?
I'm looking. Let's see. Created to be his helpmeet. That's by somebody else.
Okay.
All
right.
The Power of a Transformed Wife.
I didn't want to keep hammering her.
$10.
I didn't think it would be fair to keep hammering her if she's now, really not making any money.
There's a Kindle edition for $7.50.
Well, yeah, she's definitely making money on that because that's like that's just electrons. But I didn't want to keep hammering on her for making money on this It didn't seem to me like she could be making it. I make like 8.5 by 11 inch big books, and at 200 plus pages, those things would be at least $15 if you're going to make any money at all.
Okay,
have to be. But with a smaller imprint, she's making a little bit of money.
Okay,
go on.
Men are the ones in the Bible that God commands to be his the providers. This is God's perfect will from the beginning of time, and he reminds us that his commands are not burdensome.
They're not burdensome, but they require you to write, you know, a full paragraph of excuse at the beginning of your article, plus half of your personal story is all excuses of how come you're even allowed to do this.
Yeah.
No burden, though.
I like how she says, like, God reminds us that his commands are not burdensome, because it perfectly dovetails with her habit of, like, preemptively criticizing things that she's saying.
Yeah. Well,
like if I was on a job interview and they said, I just want you to know that this job is not burdensome, I'm like...
It is important that
I would have way more questions after that.
It is important, of course, for God to keep reminding his flock that his commands are not burdensome, because otherwise it would be really easy to think that they were.
Right.
If you just go by what they actually turn out to
be. It's good his commands aren't burdensome to the point where he has to sacrifice his own son to make it easier to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew 11:30. I'm actually bringing in my own Bible verse, mentioning, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, like, a yoke is one of those things you put on an ox to drag a cart around.
Right? Yeah.
So.
And that says your burden is light, but that is a burden. So is burdensome only apply if it's a lot of burden? And if it's a little burden, it's not burdensome?
I don't know.
Because I think that's, if there's a little burden, that's some burden. As opposed to non-burden.
Yeah.
Completely unburden-ish.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she does make her own graphics, because I'm seeing the same font in this one, and they're always titles of her blog posts.
Oh, boy.
So, she does a little art stuff. I mean, generously speaking, I call it art. There are several problems I see with women having careers, even when they are single. So there you go.
Yeah.
After spending all the time and money in pursuing their career, it's difficult to give up once the children come along, if and when they do. Also, many husbands like the money their wives make and don't want them to stop, so they insist on their wives keeping the job, even when it becomes a strain on the wife.
Wow. Wow.
Hmm.
That's an admission right there. Uh-huh. What's going on in her life.
Yeah, where she mentioned the first 20 years of my marriage were... What was it?
Burdensome.
Did she say...
No.
Disclaimer.
I just want her to say burdensome now all the time, because it's funny.
Yeah.
Difficult.
Okay.
The yoke of my marriage.
Yeah.
Oh. No,
that's to be separate from the whites of her marriage.
I see what you did there.
It's a pun. It's a pun, sir.
So, I mean, we've got just a few minutes left in the show. So,
And Dennis still has his segment. So.
Oh, well, no. That's true.
You don't? You don't have a question? Okay.
We've got time. She says, she wraps up, thankfully, I am not the judge of the world. I am only teaching my convictions based upon what I have read in the Word and obeying what the Lord has instructed older women to teach younger women, namely to be keepers at home.
Beekeepers at home? That's awfully specific.
Isn't that a career?
Well, you can't be leaving the house to take care of the hives. It's all right. Plus, you have the bees.
So they won't blaspheme the word of God, which is a terrible thing to do.
Okay.
That should not have been that funny.
Well, for 20 years, though, her husband didn't want her to get rid of her bees.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're breaking. So
she's framed this as advice that older women should give to younger women, which sounds to me like once you are past the point where you feel energetic enough to have a career, you then go ahead and scold other people for doing it.
It's a
you're
sick thing.
Obviously not going to.
It's a sick thing that some people who have been parents demonstrate, where they can't. They liked it so much they don't want to stop. They want to keep bossing people around.
Yeah.
Not that I'm speaking from personal preference, personal experience or anything.
No.
With my parents.
All right, that's
that. So we do have a few minutes left. Yeah, no, God, just 6 minutes. Dennis, do you have a question or do you?
No,
not?
I don't. I know.
Well, then I'll do another.
Sorry about that.
Oh my gosh, there's such fun ones.
Huh.
Okay, here's the one I think is really worth talking about. Mark from Muskego, Wisconsin says, I recently got into an online argument over the political motivations of American theists and whether or not the Christian right really was Christian. At one point, my opponents claimed that any group that promoted hatred, violence, or would deprive people of their rights wasn't really a religion, no matter how often they invoked the supernatural. Therefore, Christians...
Wasn't a religion?
Yeah, wasn't a religion is what he said they told him. Therefore, Christians that worked against same-sex marriage, abortion rights, or the social safety net were fake Christians.
Ugh.
When I pointed out
the obvious no true Scotsman in play, I was lectured that the fallacy didn't apply here because the actions and stated beliefs of right-wing Christians run counter to the supposed teachings of Christ.
Yeah. Huh.
At that point, I gave up and walked away. I've seen the term fake Christian used frequently elsewhere from various progressive commentators. It seems you can't be considered Christian unless you behave like the scripturally cherry-picked portrayal of Jesus as some sort of Iron Age proto-hippie and that real religion is only capable of providing good things.
Mark has cracked the code. That is spot on.
It's almost as if there were some perfect platonic form of religion, and any group that falls short of that ideal is classified as a political group, a pyramid scam, a cult of personality, or anything but an actual faith. Am I off base, or have you seen this same trend? If so, how should I approach this issue in future? Well, you're absolutely not off base, Mark.
Right.
There is a whole thing in society in general, in our society in general, to use the term Christian as a synonym for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is a huge problem.
Yep.
Because and I think it's related to people who get bent out of shape if you criticize Muslims who are extremist because they want Islam to be another thing like that, where real Islam can only be a good thing. And if you say, if you attribute bad things to it, you are being bigoted against the good
Muslims.
You're
being Islamophobic, right.
And what folks don't understand is that insisting that we acknowledge the bad things in a thing, the bad parts of a thing, is not an attack on the good parts of the thing. It's attacks on the bad parts of a thing. Hmm. And in cases where I have met Christians who aren't doing anything that I would consider problematic other than believing in some superstitious hoo-ha, right? They're not on the wrong side of any social issues. They're not bigots. They're not homophobes. They're not sexist, right? But they still believe. I think that believing superstitious things is problematic, right? Yeah. So I still don't think that there's such a thing as truly, truly, completely innocuous Christianity. But that is a far cry from criticizing the Christians who want to, say, take over our government and imprison people who aren't Christians and all that stuff, right?
Right.
But you got our whole first letter was about how many different flavors of Christianity there are. If you argue that the only kinds of Christianity that are real are the ones that you agree with, then you're no longer defending the single biggest religion on the planet. You're defending some tiny little sliver of the population.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're doing anybody any favors, folks, if you try to sugarcoat, whitewash Christianity so that the only thing that can be called Christianity is the good parts or if you do that for Islam, or if you do it for Buddhism, or if you do it for Wicca, or if you do it for atheism.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, there's totally an issue, getting specifically back to Mark's point, there's totally a problem with the use of the term Christian as a synonym for good in common parlance.
Everybody's writing, oh, these people are not acting like real Christians. And it's
Yes, they absolutely are. And a lot of atheists are guilty of this, right? Because they think, we got some politician doing some, voting for something that they don't like. Often for good reason, they don't like it. And then, I'll see their posts on Facebook on that political figure's page taking a slap at them. Oh, that's not very Christian of you. Stop doing that. Because when you do that, you are playing to this idea that Christianity is good.
Right.
By definition. Don't do that. Christianity is not good by definition. It is what it is, and it encompasses a wide range of things, good and not bad and not as bad.
Yes.
Right? And innocuous. Sure, I guess there's things Christians do that are – Hitler one day brushed his teeth. He wasn't killing anybody at that moment.
Godwin.
Thank you. So, you guys want to chime in?
Oh, well, no, you pretty much said it all. It's the same sort of thing where they'll say this insane person killed their children because he thought they were possessed by demons.
Yeah.
And you go, well, wait a minute,
Yeah, did they do it because they actually had a mental illness?
Right.
Or because they actually had extremely strong beliefs? Or, the middle path,
little of both.
Are extremely strong beliefs a form of mental illness? Yes. Of superstitious beliefs.
Because, in most cases, mental illness doesn't lead people to violent behavior. Sure. But if you also live in a society that encourages you to think that like your worst impulses are actually good and noble and virtuous in their own right, and if you happen to be in a situation where you have a hard time distinguishing clearly from right and wrong in the first place
– yeah.
Like the combination of those things. I mean, it's motive, method, and opportunity. Like when things come together, bad things happen.
If you have a belief that Armageddon is going to happen tomorrow and you have children and you don't want them to experience, it seems like a perfectly rational thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the other hand, Dennis, it's not, we're not professional mental health experts, and it's not our business, and it's nobody's business except someone who actually knows what the hell they're talking about. And once again, dismissing the actions, violent actions, by saying they're not Christian is no more helpful than assuming that because somebody did a violent thing that we can blame their religion for it instead of other causes, right? I mean,
they specifically say it was the religion that
even
caused
if even they then. even then it's because when mental health issues are there, it's not our place.
You're talking about a mental health issue
when it's a question, and there's always a question when we're dealing with extreme then it's fair to wonder. But it's not our business to dictate, and having this thing in our culture where excuse me, Christianity is a synonym for good doesn't help on any level. Right. Now, and for those of you who want to take a swipe at politicians for things where you think you can get them because it's not Christian, dude, if they think they're a Christian and they did that thing, they think it's Christian.
Yeah.
You are not scoring points.
Yep.
So drop it. Go at them instead. Say, you're doing X. You're taking people who have never harmed anyone and telling them that despite what gender they think they are, it's your business to tell them what bathroom to use, right? That's what's actually happening, never mind the religious question.
Well, they might be trying to reach the audience rather than the politician.
It's still not helpful. They're still perpetuating the notion
that
Christianity
is good.
Is good.
And it's not.
And that if it a thing that isn't good isn't Christian, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of bad things that are part that under the great rainbow tent that is Christianity, there's a lot of bad shit.
Yeah.
And if we – if you know, if, like there isn't in order to score a few quick debate points – we're not helping. So, all right, we've gone over now. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Dennis, take us out, please.
All right. These are the words of our elders. Their wisdom will return 2 weeks on 16th of August. Until that day, let our hearts sing I Am the Satellite by Brian Stieksma. Hey there, brother, don't you know the guy upstairs left us years ago? So there ain't no thing except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. So don't tell me life doesn't hurt. And that you don't need the people cause you've got your church. You gotta take your head out of the sky. Because there ain't nothing there.